I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Oh my.
Welcome to this episode of Infotainment. It's number 64, and this is the Last Stop Podcast Shop. And if you found it, lucky you. And, well, let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. I made a mistake up front. This is actually episode 65 of Infotainment. It's like, where do I go with this podcast? With all the heartbreaking news, another mass school shooting, I saw a picture. Besides that, today someone threw a live baby in the trash bag. The devaluation of the human life has just become, I don't know. I don't have any answers for it. It's going to take a lot of different things. Maybe we're going to have to study what Australia did to bring down mass shootings to zero. And the NRA maybe has to take a hard look at themselves and say that maybe we shouldn't have assault weapons for sale in gun stores or at gun conventions. These weapons probably, what are they? They're killing machines. And they should, if you want to do that, carry an assault weapon, and why not sign up for a military service? And they can test you for mental stability. Well, mental stability should be done at a very early age. Being bipolar myself from a very early age, it wasn't diagnosed. The people didn't think of that as being a problem. So it's going to take a change of hearts and on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, and background checks got to be more extensive. And there's some states that do not want to provide information on that, which is totally wrong. It's just a terrible situation. The one kid that brought up Australia, I've seen him on different talk shows, CNN, CNBC. You know, it's going to take the liberal stance on that, liberal leanings anyway. And Fox News is going to take the more conservative approach. It's just horrible. You know, when the right is saying, well, look at how many thousands of babies are killed through abortion every year. I don't know. I would like to hear from the last people that had where this cruise person stayed. They said they didn't know they had this monster under their roof. Well, I guess when both of his parents died, him and Cruz and his brother went to stay with a family friend, and then a friend of Cruz's wanted him to stay at their house. And I don't know if they went through adoption or how they did that, but they got control of him, and wasn't there some sign that he was a problem? He got expelled from that high school and was a problem in ALC, and a lot of agencies really dropped the ball on this kid, and he slipped through the cracks. Well, let's move on to something completely different. I was just wondering, how many in the studio audience think that I swear too much? Give a round of applause if you do. Well, since I'm the only one here, I did. But from now on, whenever I think I'm going to mother...
What's that coming like?
So, when I swear, that's what you will hear. I tell you what, I didn't sleep very well last night. It made me screw up my three S's. Showered. Then I realized,
What's that coming like?
Because, well, I tossed and turned, and then by the time I got to sleep, I heard this. Well, I heard the train blow its whistle extremely long and extremely loudly. And unfortunately, I have to live near the tracks. At any other place, I'd be paying a lot more in rent. The train's been here a long time. This apartment complex has been here a long time. But I don't know why they have to blow their...
What's that coming, I go?
Horns that much at 3:30 in the morning, but I've been told that they would be fired if they didn't. Well, let's talk a little television. How many of you are fans of the show American Choppers on the Discovery Channel? It's been gone for like 5 years, but I used to watch that quite a bit until I got sick of them. Paul Tuttle Sr. and Paul Tuttle Jr. always arguing, but they did build some beautiful bikes during that time. But now it looks like Paul Tuttle Sr., he filed for bankruptcy. Oh, let's bring that story up. American Chopper star Paul Tuttle Sr. says he's broke. The reality TV star filed for Chapter 13 bankruptcy in New York on February 28th. The Blast obtained documents that show Paul owns over $1 million in assets and owes 50 creditors over $1 million. And Tuttle said he makes $15,070.93 per month, but he spends $12,612. The website reports that he's trying to reorganize and restructure his debt without risk of losing assets. As for the assets, Tuttle lists his home in Montgomery, New York, a 2011 Chevy Camaro, 2010 Dodge Challenger, 2009 Chevy Corvette, and a few pistols worth around $200. He also listed 4 dogs valued at $1 each. $1 each for a dog? That's weird. And one old desktop as part of his assets. Tuttle added that there is a $32,000 judgment against him and that he owes $151,230.98 to the town of Crawford, New York for taxes as well. In addition, he says he owes about $21,000 to multiple credit card companies. In the documents, Tuttle says he owns his Orange County chopper business, but claimed that the company value is zero. Paul further states that he has $50 in cash and $900 in a checking account. In short, he says his bills are too hard to handle. Well, maybe it'll become a little less stressful. I hear they're bringing that show back. Hopefully it's another success for Discovery Channel. I think in May they're bringing that back, and hopefully they're not arguing as much as they used to. That's one of the things on television I was going to talk about. So if you want more of American Choppers, it's coming back to the Discovery Channel. And also on the Discovery Channel, when I flip through the channels, and there's that show, Naked and Afraid. Every time I skip through it, all I see is butt crack. They might as well just call that the butt crack show. No buts about it. And also on Netflix, those fans of The Soup on, what was that, the E! Network with Joel McHale. It's on Netflix now. I believe on Sundays. You can't binge it, unfortunately. He does basically The Soup plus little skits and stuff. Very funny stuff. So you might check that out if you're a fan of The Soup. That's what I wanted to say about that. Since we are talking a little television, I thought I would talk about reboots that have been picked up. CBS picked up 6 pilots for the 2018-2019 season, including reboots of Cagney and Lacey and Magnum P.I. Magnum P.I. is described as an updated version of the original series that follows Thomas Magnum, a decorated ex-Navy SEAL who, upon returning home to Hawaii from Afghanistan, repurposes his military skills to become a private investigator. Tom Selleck played the mustachioed Magnum in the original series. Peter Lenkoff, the writer and producer behind current CBS reboots of Hawaii Five-O and MacGyver, will serve as the writer and executive producer on the new version of the classic 1980s series, which had previously gotten a pilot production commitment at the network. Eric Guttenheim, an executive producer and writer on Lenkoff's Hawaii Five-O, will also write and executive produce. John Davis and John Fox of Davis Entertainment will also executive produced. CBS Studios will co-produce with Universal Television. The original Magnum P.I. aired from 1980 to 1988 for 8 seasons and 158 episodes on CBS. And then there's Cagney and Lacey that will follow the female police detectives and friends as they keep the streets of L.A. safe. Bridget Carpenter will serve as writer and producer. CBS Television Studios will produce with MGM Television. And do either of those excite you? I don't know. I watched a little bit of both of them in their original status, but I don't know. I'd like to see the Rockford Files and the Equalizer rebooted. The MacGyver one I might take a gander at, seeing somebody escape with the bad guys with a paperclip and a Q-tip and stuff. That'd be interesting to see. Talking a little movies, I'm looking forward to the Death Wish movie starring Bruce Willis, based upon the character Charles Bronson, played Paul Kersey in the Death Wish series of movies. I think there were 4 of them. I particularly like number 3, where he has the gun, the Wildey Magnum, an expensive piece of artillery. If you like the Death Wish movies with Charles Bronson, you'll probably like this one with Bruce Willis. One movie reviewer I heard gave it a 7 out of 10, even though his idea of entertainment was not the violence and stuff like that. But he couldn't give it any higher because of that, I guess. So if you like Bruce Willis and stuff and the original Death Wish movies, you'll probably like that. Well, let's move on to something completely different. I know the NFL Super Bowl is in the record books for now, but I do have this open letter from Kentucky to the people of Minnesota about those Eagles fans. I am a lifelong Minnesota Vikings fan. I have lived in Kentucky for the past 40 years, but am a Vikings season ticket holder. 42 years ago, when I was 7, my family lived in Rochester, Minnesota, and my father took me to a Vikings playoff game. I have been a fan ever since. Following the Vikings' magical regular season this year, I decided it would be a good time to return the favor, so I arranged for airline tickets to take my now 75-year-old father to the Vikings-Saints game on January 14th in Minneapolis. Needless to say, it was an experience we will never forget, and it meant the world to me to watch my favorite team pull out a miracle win. Having lived in Kentucky for so long, we are used to and proud of Southern hospitality. We often comment on how people in Kentucky have never met a stranger. However, I can honestly say that Minnesota Nice is as good as it gets. The people of Minnesota should be proud of how they conducted themselves with class, character, and friendliness. After the Vikings beat the Saints, my father and I decided to go to the Philadelphia the following week for the NFC Championship game. It turned out to be one of the biggest mistakes I have ever made, and it had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. I witnessed and experienced the rudest and most obnoxious and violent behavior I would ever have ever seen at a sporting event. From the moment we got on the subway to go to the game until the time we made it back to our hotel room afterward, we were subjected to constant verbal and physical assault. We were called names I can't repeat because they're unfit for print. We were shoved and had objects thrown at us. We were warned that if the Vikings won, we would be lucky to make it out alive. I've never been to a sporting event where I feared for my safety until last Sunday, all because I had the audacity to come to the game wearing a Vikings jersey. Well, you should have known you were asking for trouble doing that, but that's another thing. But you shouldn't have to, be worried about that. I wish I could say that this behavior came from only a few individuals. Unfortunately, it was pervasive, and those who did not participate stood idly by and watched it happen. I have no problems with the Eagles fans celebrating a historic event win. That's the joy of the sport, but you can do so with class and not ruin the time of fellow football fans whose only crime is being from another part of the country. I am not sure how it became culturally acceptable in Philadelphia to behave in such a manner, but it's a shame. I was literally embarrassed to be a human. I say all this because Minnesotans should be proud of who and what they are as people. They are nothing like what we experienced in Philadelphia. I love my Vikings more than anything in the world and would do anything to see them win a Super Bowl. But I can say this with 100% certainty. I would rather lose and be affiliated with Minnesotans than win and be a part of what I witnessed from Eagles fans. Character matters. It always has and it always will. Believe it or not, it's even more important than the outcome of a football game. Craig Robertson of Lexington, Kentucky, and is an attorney. Yeah, bringing your 75-year-old father to a game like that with making it known that you were a Vikings fan was probably not the greatest idea there. So I think some on the East Coast pride themselves on their rudeness. Yeah, it's best. That's why I wouldn't have gone there with, I would have wore Eagles stuff. If the Vikings would have won against the Eagles, I would have tore off my Eagles stuff and Viking stuff on and did the Nixon peace sign and then quickly exited the state as fast as I could. Now let's move on to something completely different. We got this college kid who flushed a support hamster down toilet after airline wouldn't let it fly. I didn't have any other options, she said. Well, I would say you had a lot of other options besides that. She should have gotten management over there or something and straightened that out. Or if he kept being a dick, I would have said, why don't I stick your head in the toilet and then shove my hamster up your ass? If this Instagram famous peacock taught us anything, yeah, I don't, that's a little extreme. I would not have let a peacock go on the flight. It's that traveling with an exotic emotional support animal can quickly turn into a complete nightmare. But Baxter seems to have escaped a far worse fate than Pebbles, an emotional support hamster who was reportedly flushed down an airport toilet when her owner was told she couldn't take her on a flight. Well, I would ask for a refund or change my flight and got the hamster home or whatever. But Belen Aldecozia, 21-year-old college student who is living in Baltimore, told the Miami Herald that she had cleared her hamster Pebbles as an emotional support animal through Spirit Airlines before bringing her along on a flight home to Miami Beach. But after calling the airline twice prior to the flight, then getting the animal cleared after checking in, Aldecozia claimed she was chased down by a Spirit employee who told her rodents were not allowed. Frantic, she said she booked a later flight and tried to rent a car to drive from Baltimore to South Florida. But seeing as she was flying on November 21st, the height of the busy Thanksgiving travel season, no cars were available. With no friends or family to pick her up, Aldecozia says she thought about taking a Greyhound, but it would have taken too long and she needed to get back for a medical procedure. And that's when Aldecozia says an airport employee told her to let the pet go free outside or flush her down the toilet. Now that's just, that person should be fired. Rather than let her freeze to death, Aldecozia told the Herald she decided to make it quick. She went into the restroom at the Baltimore-Washington International Airport, dropped Pebbles in the bowl, and flushed. She was scared. I was scared. It was horrifying trying to put her in the toilet, Aldecozia told the Herald. I was emotional. I was crying. I sat there for a good 10 minutes crying in the stall. For its part, Spirit acknowledges that it mistakenly told her that she could bring her pet hamster aboard its flight, but that it didn't have any part in the fateful flush. To be clear, at no point did any of our agents suggest this guest, or any other for that matter, should flush or otherwise injure an animal. Spirit spokesman Derek Dombrowski said in a statement to the Herald. Now, Aldecozia who says she didn't have any other options, is reportedly contemplating suing the airline, arguing that it gave her bad information that forced her to send her pet to its watery grave. This wasn't a giant peacock that could pose a danger to other passengers, Aldecosa's attorney Adam Goodman told the Herald. This was a tiny, cute, harmless hamster that could fit in the palm of her hand. Yeah, I don't understand why Spirit messed that one up, but that employee should be let go. Whoever told her to do those things, let it outside or flush it down the toilet. Not good. Not good at all. I do have another air flight story. You might want to grab your air sickness bag for this one. A flight report reported that pretty much everyone on the plane threw up. Welcome to another installment of Maybe Just Don't Fly. It's time to finally accept the truth. Humans were never meant to fly. The Wright brothers' century-long experiment may have helped us achieve our skyward dreams, but at what cost? We sent our pets to a watery grave for a seat on the airplane. We endured flaming carry-on bags and noxious shit smells for a chance to soar through the skies. We put up with a nightmare of TSA just to spend a few hours cramped in a flying metal tube. But when will the world realize that our attempts at flight are just another sad example of the hubris of our species? This is not a hypothetical question. The answer is right now. Thanks to a new story that should scare us all away from air travel once and for all. On Friday morning, a flight landing at Dulles International Airport near D.C. ran into a bit of the late winter storm that's currently nailing the East Coast, and the turbulence was so bad that pretty much everyone was puking in their seats. The Baltimore Sun report. Getting her done for the Baltimore area. Sun reporter Justin Fenton unearthed the NOAA's Aviation Weather Center report from the vomit-splattered journey, and it sounds pretty ghastly. Usually these pilots' reports are full of robotic shorthand to track bad weather, like Mod Chop and RMTB on departure, but a few longer sentences amid the standard jargon paint an almost haiku-like description of the scene. Very bumpy on descent, the report says pretty much everyone on the plane threw up. Pilots on the plane were on the verge of throwing up as well. Sure, there's not a whole lot there on the brush, but it doesn't take much reading between the lines before the entire spew session comes into focus. An airplane cabin, bouncing and rocking, mothers frantically tightening the straps on their children's seatbelts while turbulence rips them back and forth. Alarming shouts in the background grow into gurgling wails as vomit bubbles up in their throats. Hands frantically reaching into seat back pockets, fumbling to find the barf bag that's always missing when you need it the most, and finally accepting defeat and puking heartily between the pages of last month's Sky magazine. The sound of one man retching, multiplies until whole rolls are hurling in unison, the plane filling with the general din of guttural animal noises and the sharp smell of stomach acids. The air stinging in the eyes as it cycles through the plane's ventilation system. And up in the cabin, fingers white-knuckled on the controls, a pilot and co-pilot swallowing back half-digested Panda Express from a stopover in DFW, trying to shallow breaths to not inhale the scents that still manage to slip through the cabin doors as they hurtle toward the runway and hurl. But, okay, well, maybe all that doesn't quite come through in the brief report, but you get the idea. Air travel is horrible. So let's just give up and collectively accept our landbound fate. Next time you're on a plane and turbulence hits, or someone is drying a pair of underwear in the air vents next to you or whatever, remember this moment right now. We tried to warn you. We tried to help. A friend of mine talked about a news story that he saw just the other night that they're offering a flying car now for $400,000. that you can fly like a helicopter and land it and drive it like a car. So I'm sure that'll, for the rich folks in the audience that might want to buy that, the John Travolta of the world who has a airport terminal at his house, compound, mansion, whatever they call them these days. But I would like to try that, but you need a pilot's license. I would think you'd need a helicopter's license because I know that they are more difficult to fly than a regular plane. But that would be interesting, the Jetson Society. Now, let's move on to something completely different. In the country of Turkey, they have now a prison-themed cafe, and the owner swears it's not political. It's called At Haft, H-A-F-T, the employees taking your order wear orange jumpsuits. The elevator has a height chart perfect for mugshot selfies, and there is a cell complete with bars and a prison-style urinal. Management prefers that customers not use the urinal. More than 50,000 people were arrested in the sweeping crackdown that followed a failed coup attempt in July 2016 in Turkey, and more than 150 journalists are currently behind bars. A figure that places Turkey at the top of the list worldwide in terms of jailed scribes. Thousands more have been fired from government jobs and have had their passports canceled, effectively turning the country into an open-air prison for them. Amid a news cycle swarming with reports of arrests, sentences, and verdicts, a prison-themed coffee shop suddenly popped up in Turkey. Haft Coffee Roastery opened its doors last month in the sleepy coastal city of Yalova, on the opposite side of the Marmara Sea. Oh, man, well, you're getting this stuff for free. Don't complain too much on pronunciation of some of these stories. And a 90-minute ferry ride from Istanbul. One early afternoon, Haft already has a throng of customers in line, with many more occupying the tables throughout the four-story establishment. It's especially popular with students at the local university, who come to try on the prison outfits and pose for pictures in the cell. Co-owner Kanhur Aktugla was a successful award-winning graphic designer before deciding that he wanted to be his own boss. He insists Haft is purely a business venture, flatly rejecting the notion that he is making any sort of political statement. It was purely a commercial response to bring to life the story of an action movie, Orange is the New Black, Aktugla told Munchies during an interview at his cafe. The architecture of a coffee shop closely resembles that of a prison, and the orange outfits are the most memorable of all costumes, he continued. And he claims it is the world's first prison-themed coffee shop, though it appears the concept actually dates back to Paris in the 1880s. More recently, a restaurant of the sort opened in Cairo, while the proprietors of a Mumbai-based jail-inspired hookah bar were arrested last year for allowing minors to partake. Among half employees is Sana, a 23-year-old with long black hair, thin-rimmed glasses, and a goatee. Sana is a member of the Baha faith, which faces intense government prosecution in his home country of Iran. Fearing arrest, he fled to Turkey as a refugee. "I was going to jail, so I just ran away," Sana told Munchies. "Now I come here to a jail cafe," he said with a laugh. "And of course, it's ironic," he said. Of the cafe opening at a time like this in Turkey, Sana says he enjoys his workplace environment. He seems to relish in the irony that he is getting paid to wear a prison uniform in Turkey rather than donning a similar getup behind actual bars in Iran. Yeah, probably the better choice. Between sips of coffee, which Akdala and his crew roast themselves. Local university students posed in prison orange for selfies with their friends in the cell. Their world seemed light years away from Turkey's harsh reality. We'll say if they open up a Hooters next door, I don't know how a Haft would fare. They got the same orange color as they hired. If Hooters went into partnership with them, maybe it would turn into like a women in prison type thing with pillow fights in the cell or something. But no, hopefully that works out for them. I don't know how they allow that, but we shall see. Well, I think it's time to call Black Alert on this episode of Infotainment. And Spore Drive It to the interwebs. And thank you for listening. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. Check out my Facebook page under Infotainment. And email me at randyms12@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you next episode. Bye-bye, folks.
I don't